This is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to Making Headway on the UR Business Network. This is your host, John King, president of Headway Strategies Consulting, based here in the Boston area, bringing you today's show. Making Headway provides entrepreneurs, executives, and managers with information about emerging or current topics that could have significant impact on their businesses. At the conclusion of the show, we'll post a blog which contains a summary of the show as well as the contact information for the host and subject matter experts in the event that there's follow-up questions from the listeners. Today we're going to take a departure from the typical way we run our show, and that Rick Brutti from my own business is going to be moderating the show as we discuss how successful entrepreneurs use strategic thinking.
Hello, John. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thank you very much for standing in today.
And we've got MJ as our producer today.
MJ is our producer and is going to keep us on track as we go through this thing.
Yeah, well, you know, appreciate you having me on the show. So when you say it's a departure from normal, is that something personal I should know about?
Rick, we shouldn't look at it like that. We should look at it as the structure has been enhanced to handle this particular situation.
Oh, okay. What a spin. There has been. So, John, you know, what do you mean by successful entrepreneurs use strategic thinking?
Well, I think that the key thing, and I'm finding this in being an entrepreneur myself in this role, is that, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're really the chief cook and bottle washer of your organization. And you've got to worry about what the vision is. You've got to worry about providing leadership and confidence that you can exude to your employees, people you work with. You're wearing multiple hats. So you're the CFO, your chief marketing officer, you're probably the take out the trash in some cases.
Cleaning the bathrooms, yeah.
I haven't got to that point yet.
But okay.
Yes, I mean, I do that. I do take out the trash and have to work through that. If you want marketing material produced, you produce it yourself or you try to get somebody to do it. Really, the key thing is that you've got people looking at you for direction. So you've got to lead by example and keep the culture and the organization moving ahead.
So, John, give us an example of using strategic thinking, because if you're pulled in a million directions, how do you keep your brain on that?
Well, I think you have to really look at it as a first part is time management. And you've got to back up and look at what your day is going to be like, how much you're going to spend on what particular activities, and manage that and begin to look at how much am I going to spend on this, how much time do I spend on email. You can get sucked up in email and never get away from it for the day without half trying. So what I do in the morning is I get on at 6:30 and do an initial scan of what happened from the night before earlier in the day, and I decide what I'm going to do with that. And then I may come back on midday and look at it again briefly and try to respond. So I'm not going to respond every second because I don't think that's what the expectation is at this point. The second thing is I think you've got to have a vision. And you need the vision to really be able to define where you want to go as the business. So having that vision and being able to articulate it to people is very critical. And the third thing is change is always happening. So as you look at things, change is there. You've got to figure out how to adapt to it. So the adaptability is really important to look at what's happening, what's changing. If you told me 6 months ago that I'd be sitting here in this room doing a radio show with you, not to believe that, because I really didn't think that was something that was going to happen. But as we talked when we first got together, it made sense to be able to provide this kind of information for people. So I'm adapting to change as we go on with it.
We're making headway.
We're making headway, right.
How do we get to our vision? How do we get to point A to point B?
Well, I think one of the things we talk about, we've got two steps that we like to try to follow. One is we call dreaming or visualizing your future. So where do you think you want to be as an organization in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? And I think if you get much beyond 4 years, you're not going to be very accurate because you're going to have technology changes. You're going to have disruptive things that go on in the marketplace that may change things. But you have an idea where you want to go. And so you've got that vision. You need to articulate it. You need to be able to define it in a way that you can take action upon it. The second is it really looking at your resources and your capabilities. Now, I'm never going to be an NBA star. I know that, right?
Too short,
and I don't like to run up and down the court that much. But there's other things I can do, right? And so I look at it and say, well, what's the destination I want to get to? What can I get to? Even if I stretch, that's got to be looked at. What can I stretch to? And then the other piece is that you've got to look at the people that you have working for you. Are you going to be able to use them they're going to be able to contribute at a level that you need to have them to deliver for the business.
So then what's the next step to move forward?
Well, the first thing we talk about is a strategic plan. And everybody talks about a strategic plan. There's probably many, 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 many books that have been written about it and processes to go through. I mean, a strategic plan has got to have the vision component of it, which is really, as I said, 3 to 5 years out. You need a mission of what you're going to try to do this year and a little bit into next. So that's the strategic part of it. And it doesn't have to be a 40, 50, 60, 80 page book. I just did one for a group that really 3 pages of PowerPoints, and it really describes what silos are of what they're going to offer for products and services, and what are the enablers, how you're going to enable that process, what are the things that are going to shut you down so you can't get it done, and what are the metrics to monitor what you're doing. So that's part of what we do. So if you've got the vision and the mission, then you got to look at the tactical side, which I started talking about, which is really understanding what are you going to do this year, next year, and even this month, the next month, the next week kind of thing. You need to have the goals. And as you and I have talked before, goals are really important to being able to establish and be able to make sure they're your goals and they're achievable and that you understand what the implications are if you attain that goal or if you don't. So it sends a priority on it, if you would.
John, how do you go from goals to action plan?
Part of the way we develop goals is we do have an action plan associated with it. Too often in past business experiences, someone would come down from the top and say, we've got to increase sales by 5% or 10% or reduce costs by 10%, whatever the number is. Okay, so what does that mean? And so the way I look at goals are that we set that goal. We want to increase sales by 10%. Okay, so what happens if I get it? Okay, that's good. What happens if I don't? Business go out of business. And then what are the things that are going to prevent me from doing it? So I look at that. I also look at a timetable for being able to take the steps I need to do to accomplish that goal. So it's all driven much like a project would be if you think about it. When you set up a large project, you've got time frames and things like that.
Is this your old STAR model that you talked about before?
Well, that's good. Remember that.
Yeah.
It is part of the STAR model because it looks at the various components.
See, I listen, John.
I appreciate that. So that's something that we try to do. But the goal process, I think, is really important. It's not just say, I'm going to increase sales by 10%. So what do you mean by that? How are you going to get there? Who's going to help me? What time frame is it going to happen in? And so you've got to have pretty detailed plans to make that work.
So refresh my memory about the STAR model. What exactly does that encompass?
The STAR model was basically 5 points, and it started off with strategy. It then talked about structure of the organization. It talked about people and processes. It talked about rewards, and rewards are important because they help make sure that the actions you want to get accomplished get done. And then we had people, and in the center we had improved results.
Right.
So if you're able to manage all 5 of those components of the STAR model, you're able to achieve the improved results. That's the theory. And I think it's pretty practical that it does work that way if you understand what you're trying to do.
So if I'm an entrepreneur, I have an existing business, why is this important to me?
Well, I think that it's important for you to look at your business periodically. Because times change. There's a new Apple Watch coming out. What does that do to your business? Probably doesn't do anything to this business right away, but it could have an impact. Technology changes, government regulation changes.
Constantly.
And things like that can have an impact. Market changes as well. So you need to look at your business periodically and see what makes sense.
You've got to have a good attitude because it's very easy to get discouraged.
Well, it is, especially if you're the entrepreneur and you're the vision and things like that. My dad was in the reserves for a while. He was second in command of the unit for a while, and the guy that was the commanding officer used to come into him and say, talk about the problems of command and the loneliness at the top, if you would. And later, my dad took over that role as being CEO of the unit. But the thing was coming back was that the loneliness of command, because you're the one making the decisions, right? You've got to have the attitude to go forward with it. And you're not going to succeed if you have an attitude that is not complementary to what you're trying to accomplish.
And also having a positive attitude, being an entrepreneur, I mean, you can easily get discouraged, and that's not helping anybody.
That's right. That's right. Because as an entrepreneur, you know, you may have a spouse that's not involved in a business, but is watching what's happening and wondering where's this extra revenue going to come in that you think you're going to generate. So there's multiple factors about that as you work through it.
When you have employees with negative attitudes, that's almost like a cancer, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's an enormous cancer. And I, you know, having been through a number of organizations that have been going through a restructure or bought and sold, it's amazing how much time is spent fussing, worrying about, you know, what's going to happen, right? And so when you start down that path of making that kind of change, you really have to have a good communication plan to make sure people know what's going on. But if you don't have the right attitudes, it's not going to work, especially in customer service. If you think about it, if you've got people who don't have the right attitude and you're facing off with the customers, guess where the customers are going to, you know, going to go? They're not going to come back to you if they don't have that kind of role.
No, absolutely. So, John, how do you help improve the attitude? What do you do?
Well, I think it's back on the goals is one piece. And the second is making sure that people understand what the benefit to them is as they go through it. The key, I think, is going through what we call a positive behavior change. And that positive behavior change is something we're saying, well, okay, in order to achieve that goal, what do I have to do differently? If I don't understand what I have to do differently, then I'm not going to achieve that goal. And so that's very important. And there's got to be a willingness to make that change.
John, why do like businesses fail? What are they doing wrong that they can't seem to improve on?
I think part of it is really the lack of knowledge of what the kind of business they're in. I think that lack of vision and purpose by the owners is one of the other considerations. Financial planning is a big one. I was doing a review with a company, a startup last night, and they're trying to sort out their VC funding. They've got a very interesting product. They've got a very interesting opportunity for companies to save money in terms of their heating and lighting capabilities in their organization. But they need venture capital in order to get it. And so they're looking at it and saying, well, okay, we've got funding. We've got enough money, not cash, to get us through the end of the year. Well, okay, they've got to get some customers to pay because they've got some pilots out there and they're trying to work through it. So financial aspect of it, really understanding what that is and how you're able to sustain it is very important.
And what about some traits of successful businesses? What are some things that...
Well, if you go back to the attitude piece, and you have to vision that you envision success. Okay, I am going to be successful at this. I'm going to make this work. So that's number one, the attitude piece of it. Lead and influence. If you can't direct the people and influence them to do things that maybe they don't want to do or maybe they need to change your behavior to do, you're going to have some challenges with that. I think the other piece is that you've got to be elicit trust. If you don't have trust from the employees in the organization, it's not going to work. I mean, you're going to get back to that cancer you talked about, people trying to figure out what they're going to do. And then you need to empower others. If you can empower people with customer service to realize that their performance in customer service is as important as having the proper product for them, then that's good. They'll go the extra mile to do something. That's really important, as well as, I think, keeping the priorities squared away. Change is always going to happen, so you need to keep your priorities in place to understand what you have to do differently. And then finally, I think just continually searching out for knowledge in terms of what the marketplace is doing, what your competitors are doing, and how your people are reacting.
Customer service is a real simple thing that it's critical, because if you walk into a store or an establishment and people don't come and service you or greet you or, you know, and you're just standing there, I walk out.
Yeah. Well, it's as we talked before, I did some work with grocery chains and point of sale activities for a while. And one of the things I don't like, and that's probably because of my age, is I don't like the self-checkout because I don't get to talk to the employee. And when I talk to the employee at the self-checkout is, well, you didn't push this button right.
Right, which I always do. That's why I don't like them either.
But so I think that personal contact is really important because you're coming to the store based on the product that you need to do what you're trying to do. If it's a fashion or if it's a Home Depot or auto parts store or whatever, you're coming there because you want to get that product or service. And if you don't have that customer service rep really talking with you and encouraging you or more importantly, making sure that you got satisfaction, that's not going to work long term.
No, great. So, John, can you give us some final thoughts on any other points about this that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I would say that really, as an entrepreneur, you have to be a leader. You've got to maintain a positive attitude as you go through this activity. You know, you don't quit or accept failure, and you've got to learn from your failures. And many people say that unless you've had failures, you're not going to be successful because you learn from them. Right?
I got a lot to learn from mine.
Well, we all have that. I mean, you know, we've made some changes, made some decisions in that may not have been what we look at back 5, 10, 15 years ago. But that's a product of where you were. You got to look at where you want to go forward.
Correct.
So you've got to look. If you're going to fail, if you're going to fall forward. That's the way I always like to
Satchel
look at it.
Satchel Paige, never look back. Remember
never
that?
Look back. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a great quote from Joe Namath. And for those of you that don't know, Joe Namath was a football player back for the Steelers. And used to be very, very bad for my team, the Browns.
He was with the Jets.
He may have gone to the Jets, yes, but he was with the Steelers for a long time.
Okay, yeah.
But and his comment was, I never lost a ball game, but I have run out of time on a few occasions. And I think that's absolutely right. I mean, if you got to look at it, if you've plotted out the time you need to do it and you get it done within that time frame, you get successful. If you don't, how do you adapt the next time around? So it's all about looking at change and how you can go forward with it. And then you got to be persistent. You've got to be persistent. You've got to make sure that you're going to keep driving down that path to make sure that that's going to work for you.
You got to have it in you. You also had a Robert Louis Stevenson quote you were telling me about.
Yeah. He says, life is only a fortune worth finding, and it's not to be found in foreign lands, but in the heart itself. So you've got to decompose that. But basically, it's in you that's going to determine whether or not you're successful. And if you have the drive and the persistence and the attitude for it, you're going to be successful.
Well, John, you're successful, and I know you help your clients with your philosophy. I think this is great stuff. I'm excited. I'm ready for my first session with you.
Okay. We'll just have to schedule that. Okay. Rick, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you probably have many, many shows during the week, and I appreciate you taking time on Friday here to help me out.
My pleasure, John.
And to work with me on it. And MJ, thank you very much for keeping us on track. If anybody has any questions, you can reach me at jking@headway-strategies.com. And I have a Twitter account now, which we're Twittering around, and that's jkinghsc, as in Headway Strategy Consulting. So thank you all for listening. If you have some topics you'd like to hear about, please reach out to me. And this is John King for the UR Business Network, reminding you to continue to listen to Making Headway, because remember, we can help you make headway. Thank you.
You're listening to the UR Business Network.